6.
America Tonight, the name of this show. We're bouncing coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between, also outside of our borders. Hey, hey to everybody listening to us in London and down under as well. Let me give you the digits at the top. Should you decide you want to jump into the conversation, 800-259-5791. It's official. We have a stay of the government, so there's not going to be any kind of a shutdown. When I say a stay, hardly anything's been cut out. It's called a compromise. 2 weeks they continue with this extended budget, for lack of a better way to describe it. That's how I'm going to describe it. It just means they couldn't reach a deal. They don't agree on anything, and they're punting. That's what they're doing. They're punting, they being the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington, D.C. But there won't be any kind of a shutdown. So if you were concerned about Social Security checks and lack of information as to whether you'd get it or IRS refunds or whatever, you don't have to worry about it. It's not an issue this time around. But March 18th, we'll be taking up the same conversation. Sadly, here at the top, I'm going to tell you this as a follow-up to not just drop the ball on this. You know, we were so concerned about the poor people at Christchurch in New Zealand. Two earthquakes within a six-month period. And we had an earthquake expert on a couple of shows ago talking about ways to predict earthquakes. And especially in California, we were focusing on, because you always have that floating around out there, that the next big one, when is the next big one? But that information could help other countries like Chile and New Zealand, especially in areas where they're hit over and over again. But they've given up hope for any earthquake survivors now at this point, which makes sense because it's been too long of a period. And, boy, those rescue workers, they crawled in every spot they could possibly find. Because, you know, you are talking about pure rubble and the definition of rubble. I mean, it really is where you've got everything in certain areas just shattered, just nothing but concrete slabs you're crawling on top of. So it'd be pretty tough, too, with these rescue teams and trying to extract people. But they did find people. They did get to a lot of victims and rescued them. So I think that's tremendous. It was a 6.3 earthquake that was enough to really shake the core of Christchurch. 161 dead, but they think the final death toll will be around 240. You know, this just shows you you never know. Two Israeli backpackers, they say, were the first foreigners that were named among the dead. Because, see, this is the thing, trying to confirm the identities of people. How awful. They just went through. It's a beautiful place. They went through, wanted to see it. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And there were a lot of foreigners that were actually killed. There were a lot of Asian students and some of the staff in an English language school that was in an office building that collapsed. So they've got to go through and identify everybody. Oof, what a morbid task, sad task that would be. There's a job I would not want to do. In the meantime, Gaddafi and the Arab League, Hugo Chavez intervening in the middle of this. We're talking about a peace talk plan, and Gaddafi approves that. Whether it leads to anything or not, who knows? Because at this point, you still have people that were killed in the streets, literally going to Tripoli. You have 180,000 evacuees just trying to get out of there across the border to Tunisia. Americans, Europeans, everybody else scattering to jump on the ferry and get out to Malta and then go from there or jump on one of the planes. Although it was, I know I described it like a moth to the flame. You know, when you see a moth descend, it's like when you're in the backyard, you see the moth just descend on the flame. That's really what it was like when they opened up desks to various air travel and everybody just scrambled to try to grab those few tickets that were available. Dale is listening to us in Illinois. Hey, Dale, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I do send my thoughts and prayers out to the New Zealanders. My goodness, what a terrible loss that they're experiencing right now. I wanted to say, you were talking about these flesh-eating fish.
Yes, the people go to get pedicures that way.
Yeah, here it comes. We need them out here in Illinois. We got some dead brain cells that need to be taken care of out here. We're going to soak these guys' heads in this. We're going to get this budget squared away out here, Kate.
Hey, instead of the feet, we go for the head.
And hey, there you go.
Free. It's free for all lawmakers.
Yeah, all Illinois lawmakers get a shampoo with these guys. That's what we need.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Hey, this young woman out in California, Lindsay Lohan, I think her name is.
Yeah.
I don't follow this stuff very much. But she's like in her mid-20s, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's a kid.
Well, where's her parents?
Oh, her parents are nuts. Michael Lohan and Dina Lohan, that's part of the problem. She was in a circus from day one, and they're all about the celebrity and the fame and what they're getting from it. It's terrible.
Are they celebrities?
Because of her, they are.
Oh, okay. So they're really not.
No.
Oh. Well, I noticed the other day, I know she came to court, and I didn't quite understand. She stole a bracelet or something, or they're going to prosecute her for that. She's already in rehab, and then she comes in there, what appeared to me to be a real tight white dress on,
mm-hmm.
You know, in front of the judge. That's not too smart.
No, and the judge was having none of it.
Yeah, he you know, my goodness. Anyway, I hope the best for her. I hope somebody can get a hold of this young woman and get her straightened out. I understand she still is active in show business.
Here's the thing. When somebody goes really off the reservation, they really go kind of batty, then the insurance companies with these pictures, they don't want to take the risk on somebody. Robert Downey Jr. has talked about that. When he had all those drug problems and all the nutty things were happening with him, the last time he came out, nobody wanted to take a chance on him because of the insurance. They were afraid to do drugs, and he could, you know, they think you might die on the set. Something could happen with the cocaine or whatever it is they're doing. So she's got that same problem.
Yeah, well, that apparently that's what's happened to this Charlie Sheen character. It appears that they're not willing to take many risks with him.
Oh, yeah,
he's out
there now.
His mind is really boiled, isn't it?
Yeah, you can tell. And, well, it's because he's gone back to whatever it was he had done before, I guess. It just seems like he's way out there. You can tell. He looks that way. He looks exhausted. When you see him in some of these interviews that he's doing, to me, he looks super tired, just whipped. He's got that look in his face. It's sad to see. But this is what happens. I mean, you know, you talked about Lindsay Lohan, and before that, the whole Paris Hilton thing. You know, we could have a laundry list of idiots. They became idiots. Celebrities that became idiots. How's that? Stay with us.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all natural, all organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-6800. getthetea.com/0408. That's getthetea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
Gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, 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 when it came to winning blue ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you are.
Sometimes we do a thing called sport shorts here on the show, and it's funny. Some of you that can see me, I got in the mail today my copy of MLB, which is just a magazine that has more useless nonsense on baseball. I am a huge baseball fan. I love football, too, but baseball would be right up there. And now we have spring training, so that signifies that the real stuff is coming a month from now. But what's going to happen in the NFL? What are we going to see? That there's going to be a lockout? Can you imagine? When I think of the greed, when I think of the money, I can't imagine. We talk about the federal government not being able to come to terms to get along to actually balance a budget. Can you imagine losing millions of dollars, unfathomable amount of money for most of us? Not just a couple million, more than that, because you're just so stubborn with your collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners that you're not giving. You're just not going to do it. You're just going to stand at the craps table and let the dice roll and fall wherever they may. Is it going to be snake eyes? Ooh, it might be snake eyes. Are we going to see that there's going to be a lockout? The union, the NFL and the union is going to resume their talks on Thursday morning for what it's worth. I heard that, because I really thought they were going to try to solve this, I heard that there's a lot of hard feelings and it might they might not come to terms with this. So as of Friday, just like the government, there could end up being a work stoppage. I can't imagine that Roger Goodell wants to see that, the commissioner, and I can't imagine that a lot of the owners want to see that happen. They're calling it the multi-billion dollar stare down between the two. It's the final day of the expiring CBA, and there is no significant progress. That could be a fly on the wall. I know someone that's hovering around outside because, of course, there's a lot of reporters out there in Washington, and it's a major, major meltdown. What happens? Would the union decertify and the deadline maybe could be, I don't know, extended? Or do the owners just decide to lock out the players? Now, the players have expected that there would be a lockout. I mean, they pretty much were talking about that lockout is what's most likely going to happen. It's just unthinkable when you, just from the greed point of view, how much money would be lost. Ticket sales, TV ratings for all the TV commercials that are sold. Do you know what the annual revenues are? They top $9 billion. $9 billion. So the union is preparing to decertify, and that would, you know, unless there's some last-minute breakthrough, that means that the union wouldn't represent the players who would be giving up their rights under labor law and instead take their chances in court under antitrust law. It's not that confusing, it sounds it. And if that happens, but that's not, that's just rumor and that hasn't been made public. There was a four-hour session on Wednesday, and so you had all the owners, the 10 members of the owners' labor committee, and then you also had the union too. I think it could come to that. I think it could come to a lockout. How many people will be chased away from the great game? And just quickly, I'll tell you this, since we're doing a little sports shorts here. The sides are apart, are far apart on a rookie wage scale. The owners are trying to expand the season from 16 to 18 games and then reduce the preseason by two, which seems only fair. And then benefits for retired players. Because what happens is, I mean, they're a piece of meat. They go out there, and if you're the super, superstar, you're like the Manning brothers or you're Troy Aikman or, you know, think of any of the big names in football and what they have commanded outside of the game and if they've gone on to other careers outside of the game, Emmitt Smith, those kind of people, then they're covered. But what happens is your journeyman player, especially the pounding that they take, whether it's on knees, head, back, whatever, and they walk around at a very young age, almost like cripples, how they can't take care of the players, I just don't get it. I mean, this is probably going to get dragged out, just like the federal government is dragging us all over the place with their budget woes. I think this gets dragged out till the summer, middle of the summer. And then this is what the countdown becomes. Is there going to be a training camp? Are they going to make it in time to have a training camp? What happens if they don't? Is the season going to go on shortened? Are they going to shorten the season? That kind of stuff. Yeah. And I got to say this one too, since we're on football. Michael Vick signed a franchise, what they call a franchise tender. How about that? There's an interesting story for you. You follow the saga of Michael Vick, the horrible dog fighting scandal that he was embroiled in, and then the jail time he did, how much money he lost, how much money he had made and lost almost in an instant. And now he's one of three players to get the franchise tag, which would bar the player from talking to other teams once free agency begins. Colts quarterback Peyton Manning, one of the Oakland Raiders linebackers, Cameron Wimbley, also got what they call as I said, the offer, the tender. Manning apparently hasn't signed his yet because they're continuing to talk. Vic made $5.25 million last season but would make about $20 million. That's the average salary of the five highest-paid quarterbacks in the league. And that's what he would get as the Eagles franchise player. He was the comeback player of the year. He was the AP comeback player, and you knew that that was going to help him in the bargaining department, and sure enough, in a way, he is one of those stories where you say, hey, look, this guy had it all. I mean, he had it all and just threw it away. Ended up doing, murderers get off for less than what Vic did, although I think it's atrocious and sickening what happened there. And I'm glad that he actually did serve some jail time. But Vic is the poster child for the big comeback. Because people in Philadelphia, they don't care now. They're like, he paid his price, and we just care how he's playing on the field. And clearly, he did a good job with Philly. I think it was a smart move by Philadelphia to actually pick him up because he's a difference maker. And then I think people look at his story and. It's just one of those turnarounds. I mean, it is the big comeback story. He could have been down and out. He busted because he lost every cent, but he didn't. He had enough people that Tony Dungy trying to help, enough people that believed in him, and he got that shot. And boy, he took it, and then some. Yeah. So that's a big story, too, as well. I'm going to squeeze in a couple of other quick headlines here. Besides New Zealand, we did the follow-up, and it's all about now the just identifying bodies, sadly, to be blunt, is what we said, and burying people, frankly, people in New Zealand. The services actually still can continue there. In the meantime, Private Manning feels like he's already being buried because he faces a possible death penalty. Remember the whole WikiLeaks thing? So from leaking that information, could he get the lethal injection? There is a possibility it's being talked about. You know, talk about somebody who's sweating it out. He's got to be more than sweating it out with 22 new charges. Kicking the can down the road. Stay with us.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10. Or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, A solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach, who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And, you know, we're talking about what happened in Germany, just how outrageous this is. Two U.S. airmen killed in a German airport shooting, and there were two others wounded as well, a bus driver gunned down and killed, and a passenger. And you think of the soldiers that we have coming in and out of Germany, 50,000, I'm told, is the number at any one point. In fact, on the Hill, they were discussing to try to decide how many military folks we needed in Germany, if we should have less or we should have more. And this was really because of a budget issue and was way before what happened here today, to sadly, in Germany. So right at the get-go of this whole thing, we've got Jeff Atticott, our favorite terrorism expert. He's just so knowledgeable, and we're always pleased to welcome him to the show. Jeff, your reaction when you heard that deal in Germany?
Well, yeah, I spent almost 3 years in Berlin when I was in the military, so it's very tragic, and the gunman apparently is from Kosovo, probably is a Muslim, non-German citizen, and we don't know exactly what his motivation was at this time. The Germans are kind of being kind of hush-hush about what happened, whether it was just a private altercation or what exactly was the motive of this individual. So it's tragic, and I think it does put one of the things on the table is how many soldiers should we have in Germany? Mm. I've always been a proponent that we need to have a smaller presence in Europe, because for too long we have been providing the military muscle and protection for a lot of European countries. They've been able to engage in all their socialistic programs because they haven't had to build up their own military. They can't even take care of Bosnia, which is in their own backyard. So, yeah, I think we need to let these democracies stand up and pay for their own defense.
And smaller would also mean that our military guys and women would be less of a target, I would assume, right?
Yeah, we have less opportunity for people to do them harm, but at the end of the day, these people, they have to be weaned off the off the American tax dollar. We've been there for over 60 years now. Enough's enough. We need to allow them to restructure, reestablish their own military under a democratic system because, if we're going to provide it for them, obviously they're going to take all we can give them.
Yeah. How about I'm going to jump to Libya here as we see that in the Middle East, another explosion. When I say explosion, we've already done the Tunisia thing and watched what happened in Egypt, and now Libya, especially with the people being slaughtered and whatnot. The idea that should we or should we not have a military op there, what do you think?
Well, I guess that Nobel Peace Prize that our president got is not working out too well, is it?
No.
We've had countries breaking out with violence and one thing after the other. The president has vacillated. When the Iranians rose up, he refused to get on the side of the people that were trying to throw out those brutal dictators. And with the Gaddafi incident, he's way too late to do anything. We need to do more than just stand there and watch the train wreck. And in many degrees, it is a train wreck, but we can do such positive things as recognize the provisional government, establish a unilateral no-fly zone, because if you're waiting on the UN, you've got a long wait.
Yeah, no kidding. Well put. I'm going to skip around here because we haven't talked to you in a while. How about these new charges for that WikiLeaks suspect? I think it's 22 extra charges that they're lopping on private Bradley Manning. What do you think of that? Is that fair or foul?
No, that's fair. This guy has done tremendous harm to national security. The other people that are not being charged, although, the administration was particularly outraged when the cables were leaked about the State Department. They really didn't care too much when the earlier cables leaked information about the military, but, oh, don't talk about Hillary Clinton or, something like that. That's really upsetting. So, yeah, I mean, we've got to make an example out of this individual because there's a lot of folks out there that have or can get access to sensitive information through cybersecurity breaches. And this guy has to be an example. We've got to send a deterrent signal to people that are out there and think they want to engage in this type of activity.
Yeah. You're going to go to Washington and brief a congressional subcommittee on the conditions in Guantanamo. What are you going to tell them?
Well, yes, the subcommittee is an oversight subcommittee. They're looking at Guantanamo Bay. They're looking at the detainee issues. They're trying to do some oversight because, as you know, this president has had a schizophrenic policy towards many aspects of the war on terror, with Guantanamo Bay being one of them. As we all know, the first couple of days in office, I'm going to close Gitmo within a year. It's been well over 2 years. It's not going to close, which is the good news. And I'm going to provide my opinion about domestic terrorism and how the president cannot distinguish between unlawful enemy combatants, which we use the law of war against, and just the jihadists that are not members of al-Qaeda, but they're infected with the virus of al-Qaeda. Since the president's taken office, we've had 23 jihadi attacks or attempted attacks on the United States, and in all the other periods since 9/11 until President Obama took office, we only had 21. So the threat is growing, and we need to address it. We need to do a better job of deciding how we're going to apply the rule of law to enemy combatants versus jihadists.
Yeah, there you go. And when you talk about jihadists, why is there no push on Pakistan? What's going on with Pakistan?
Yeah, well, the Pakistanis are, they're playing us from both sides. They love to get our billions of dollars. But on the other hand, they are overflowing with radical Islamic extremists throughout the country. They have their own geopolitical interests and concerns. At the end of the day, the fact that's staring everybody in the face, except for our leadership, is that al-Qaeda has relocated and reconstituted in western Pakistan. What are we going to do about it? And these little drone strikes here and there is not the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. A sad thing happened between the time we last talked to you, and lots of sad things are happening along the border, but the fact that the young immigration agent who was traveling with another friend of his who was also an agent. You know the story. They were gunned down by, it looks like, members of the cartel, and here they are, diplomats, and it's supposed to be hands-off. And we have this policy, apparently, from the 90s where our guys aren't armed. I think they should change that. Do you think they should be able to carry a weapon when they're in these thorny situations across the border?
Well, officially, they're not armed, but I can tell you that we do have armored vehicles, and we do have agents down there that are armed. We just, because of the sensitivities with the Mexican government, will never admit that. The big problem is that these guys got out of their armored vehicle, at least opened the door or something, and that's a mistake. We probably have to have convoys now instead of single vehicles. It's a war zone down there, and it's a very dangerous situation. But the Mexican government is not doing what they have to do. They have to rely on their military, as they did it, as the Peruvians did, as the Colombians did, to go after these cartels and break them up. That's the bottom line solution. And they have to extend, I guess they have to request more military assistance from the United States in order to help do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they should do that. How about the also the problems that we're having? We saw that the FBI unraveled this plot of another homegrown terrorist who, among the things this chemistry major wanted to do was go after the former president Bush, George W. Bush, and was amassing the chemicals to be able to do that, to put together a weapon, and luckily they interceded and that whole thing was stopped. But once again, he was a Saudi, he was a student, and we have the visa issue. When are they going to address that? Don't you think this is one of the key ways or portals that people, a possible terrorist, could get in?
Oh, absolutely. He is the 23rd plot and counting right here in Lubbock, Texas. He obviously formed this idea for jihad before he came here, so not a very good screening job. But, of course, we've had these issues in the past when Ali Muttalib, the Nigerian, his dad went to the U.S. State Department embassy in Nigeria and said, hey, my son's a terrorist. Don't let him in the country. And, oh, no problem. We'll let him in anyway. We do a horrible job at screening individuals that come into this country, and we really need to clamp down on the number of individuals we allow into the country. There's really no reason that we should allow thousands and tens of thousands of people to come in here when we know that many of them will simply ditch and become illegal aliens here amongst us.
Yeah, boy, absolutely, no kidding. And we want to mention, too, St. Mary's, because, of course, you got the ball really rolling with that, the type of terrorism law that you're teaching and that's being taught there. How far along has that program come? I've always been curious about that. We've never had that discussion.
Well, we have a $700,000 facility, so we just don't exist in cyberspace. And we're doing a variety of things, from Supreme Court amicus curiae briefs. We've done two of those. We've testified before the Senate, worked in Guantanamo Bay, worked with other governments from Egypt to Israel to Colombia, constantly engaging in these types of debates. We've been on the defense team for several soldiers that have been wrongfully accused of murder. All of them have been acquitted. So we're quite active in a variety of ways, holding conferences on cyber, on biological issues, and, talking about the issues. The piracy issue, of course. We had four Americans slaughtered just last week, and our president, does nothing. What we need to do is to get a aircraft carrier, go off the coast of Somalia. We know where the mother pirate ships are. We know where the ports are that the infrastructure is located, and simply blow them out of the water. If we did that and then sail those ships over to Libya, we wouldn't have to fire a shot at Libya. They would get the message real quick, but our president refuses to use our military might as any logical person would do. You kill Americans, and there has to be a price to pay.
Absolutely, to send the message that you cannot get away with this. I agree with you 100%. Interesting stuff. Thanks so much once again, terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. We appreciate your time.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
There, wherever it is you are listening to America Tonight, whether you're outside of the country or inside the country, would you visit Mexico? I spent time in Cabo San Lucas and Juarez and Mexico City and Tijuana, deep in the interior, in the Mexican Riviera. In fact, I used to go to Mexico a lot. I speak a little bit of Spanish. I say más y menos or así así. It depends on the time of day, how good my Spanish is. But I enjoyed my trips to Mexico. It was cheap. It was fun. It was close. And now I wouldn't make that trip to Mexico. It is spring break time almost. College students love to go across the border. And you look at what's happening. I mean, just the other day, police in Arizona tied a beheading to a Mexican drug cartel, a head that was found in Arizona because the person owed the cartel money. And they were beheaded in Phoenix, Arizona. How frightening is that, right? If you go to the State Department's website, you see warnings about Mexico not to travel and to be careful and all that sort of stuff. Now, if you talk to travel agents, if right now we were to call up a travel agent, they'd say, oh, that's some of that's just so exaggerated. The risks aren't that bad. I think it'd be fine. You know, just be smart about what you're doing. You know, be smart. Be smart after you're a college student, after you've had 15 shots of tequila. Be smart about what you're doing. So in Acapulco, you've got drug violence way, 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 way up, just on the rise. And what our State Department website would say is you should be vigilant in your personal safety. Be vigilant. And then Cancun and Playa del Carmen, which is a great place to go, and Cozumel, they've had lots of problems with crime lately. Mostly it involves something that's alcohol-fueled. So they tell you to travel in pairs or groups and just to be aware of your surroundings and take general precautions. In other words, those eyes in the back of your head, make sure you have them. Matamoros, this is one place I would absolutely not go. You have to be very alert because guess what? There is drug violence raging right around you. So don't do anything at night. If you're doing anything, just do it during the day, but I wouldn't make that trip. Mazatlan, it's a great beach area. Same thing. You want to go to Mazatlan, look at the girls in the bikinis, lay out, have a few cocktails, or take your kids. I wouldn't take kids there. They say you have to use common sense and exercise normal precautions. If we move to Nogales, Sonora, most of the accidents at spring break are caused by drunk drivers, and you have unpaved roads, and that's dangerous, and they say a little bit of crime. In Tijuana, of course, that is a very, very busy intersection. I'm going to call it intersection, border crossing, between Mexico and the U.S. And then you have Rosarita and Ensenada, and there's a lot of tourists that go there. And they still have the same problem. They have people smashed on the streets there. Tijuana actually might be a little bit safer than some of the other entry points that link the U.S. and Mexico. Juarez, just done deal, I wouldn't go there. If you're in El Paso, I wouldn't make that cross across that bridge to save my life now at this point. And I used to go almost every day across that bridge, no way. There's just too much violence, and I think it wouldn't matter. I don't necessarily believe an American tourist during the day, if they went over, that somebody would say, well, let's just take, we're just going to slaughter them. We're just going to grab whatever we can and, hey, we'll just bang them on the head or do whatever. I don't necessarily think that. I just think it's too dangerous that you could get in the middle of something because that's what seems to happen. Unless you work for the government, then forget it. You've got a target on your back. Whatever it is you do for the government, there's just no way I would make that trek. So the answer becomes, would you go to Mexico and say, ah, screw that. You know what? They always talk about places. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to go here. I could go to see the pyramids right now really cheaply because not a lot of people are going to Egypt. Would you make the trip there? Probably not, especially going into dipping into the Middle East right now. But Mexico, with the drug cartels and how insane the violence has gotten and the attitude, I would absolutely not to go to any of the border cities. But I still think you're going to have a lot of spring breakers do it anyway. Whether it's Puerto Vallarta, Mazatlan, whatever it might be. Mostly it's the Cozumel, Cancun crowd. Because, let's face it, the trips are cheap. It's fun in the sun. And you can go to an all-inclusive place, drink and eat as much as you want. And that's a big attraction. A big, big attraction. In fact, we've already got a couple of hits here. I got two. Through the email. Remember, all roads lead to Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff and chat through AmericaTonight.net. And here's one from Andy P. No way, Mexico. Nada. Clever. Nada in big letters. So he agrees with me. Didn't really emphasize much there. Here's one from Grego. Hey America tonight. I used to go to Mexico every single year from the time I was about 21. So I didn't do it during college. I did it when I got out of college. You're right. The temptations with the beaches and the booze and the broads were certainly there. It was fun. I have great memories, but I think I would sit this one out. And I agree, Greco. I would sit this one out for now. Speaking of sitting it out, as we move from would you go to Mexico, despite all the State Department warnings that are all pretty similar, have eyes in the back of your head, travel in pairs, and don't go out at night. From the follow-up file, because we talked about this a ton, guess what the Navy did? They pulled 10 of their destroyers after, or they pulled 10 of their personnel from destroyers after the trouble they had with a commander. Remember the USS Stout. What happened there was the commander and one aide, and then I guess there was about eight sailors, were pulled from the ship in the Mediterranean, and it's being termed as misbehavior by the crew in overseas ports. And what did it include? Booze, drunk, and disorderly conduct. So the U.S. 6th Fleet said that Nathan Borchers, who was the commander, was relieved from the Stout, and he had taken command of that ship back in December. But what they do in the Navy is if they decide they lose confidence in you, they bail you off of your destroyer, and that's what happened. They said it was unprofessional behavior by the crew, fraternization. I love that word. That's such a Navy word, isn't it? Or military word. Fraternization. Fraternization, orders violations, and just disregard for naval standards, period. We've heard this a few times. So they're done. The U.S. 6th Fleet, by the way, is based in Naples, Italy. Did you know that? So the port calls involved that whole Liberty thing that happens with sailors, and it was Liberty leave for sailors in Israel, in Augusta Bay in Sicily, and Souter Bay in the Greek island of Crete. And they didn't talk about the specifics of it, and there weren't actually complaints by any of the areas that I just mentioned where they were obviously parting it up. But I think part of the problem is, and these sailors may even be a victim of this, the problems of the Stout are because of, I think, command changes in the Navy. Because of what happened in January, if you remember, the commander of the USS Enterprise was booted, was released because of those videos that were made public, and it was very, the Navy hates that. And, I mean, any of the military, they don't want to be exposed, or they don't want to be made a mockery of. And that's what happened after some of these videos that were pushed to the public showed that, you know, that he had showed to thousands of sailors on the USS Enterprise in 2006 and 2007. So the Navy's had a lot of shakeups lately. The USS Ashland, they had to relieve a commander. So are we keeping score? You know that old song? What was it? The Village People in the Navy? Might be a good time to apply for some gigs in the Navy. You could move up the ranks pretty fast.